be careful what you allow man to put on you. And if they get a chance to put it on you, God can get it off of you. Because every now and then we might trust people and they might do things, but God can get it off of you. Amen. Hallelujah. The Lord is good, worthy of all the praise. We're in Malachi chapter 3, verses 6 to 12. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. God just basically said, I made some promises to your forefathers. Because y'all some rascals. And the only reason you're still around is because I'm going to keep my word. I'm gracious and I'm merciful. Look at verse 7. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me. Listen, if I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts, but ye said, wherein shall we return? In other words, what you mean return to you? We ain't going nowhere. That's deep when you get so messed up in your worship, you don't even know that you left God, that you're no longer worshiping him. Look at verse 8. This is God speaking through Malachi. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? He says, in tithes and offerings. It's more than money, y'all. Oh, my God. And then in verse 9, he said, because you have done this, and because you won't even recognize that you've done this, ye are cursed with a curse. I need some help with that. You cursed with a curse. I have folks cuss me out with a cuss, but I'm cursed. And he says, because you have robbed me. I thought it was very interesting that he said, return to me. And they said, well, where have we left you? And God said, would you rob me? And he says, in tithes and offerings, because you know God is rich. You know he really does not need the money. It's all about a spirit of obedience to what God wants. Oh, my, my, my. Bring you all, you are cursed to curse for you're robbing even this whole nation. The whole nation has robbed me. And you know, when you look at Malachi, he's actually talking to the Levites and the leaders and says, because you're a leader, and because you're doing wrong, and because you train folk to follow you, you train folk to follow the leader, it's more than a game. The whole nation is cursed. Because they're following you as their priest, as their Levitical leader, as their pastor, as their shepherd. Lord have mercy.
Wow.
The whole nation. But in verse 10, he says, you come back to me. All you got to do is bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me, test me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. If I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it, I'm talking about overflow. So much stuff you don't need, you can give to somebody else. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast the fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. All nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. We want to talk about for a few moments, blessings poured out. Blessings poured out. Father, we pray you might bless your word and bless our time in your word together, that none of us, pulpit pew, will be able to prevent and stop what it is you want to deliver and do on today. In Jesus' name, amen. Giving is about obedience and confidence and trust in God. One of the most challenging parts of a worship service is the ministry of giving. And it should not be, because it is an act of worship. But so many times it's presented as a highlight of the service, when in reality all that we do to worship God is important. But what happens is, when you know the concept, when you know how God
can bless you through your obedience, you get excited for other folk.
Anybody ever tell you about something good you should take advantage of and you can see the excitement in them? And they just want to get you to know it and get you to get involved in it. And see, that's where the excitement comes in. Because sometimes I come up around and say, it's time to get. And folks look at me like, yeah. And some folks say, yeah. And some folks look at me like, okay. You weren't that excited with all the other parts of the worship. Oh, my God. But anytime you ask for money, but God, this is more than money. This is a willingness to trust and have confidence in God. It is about obedience unto the word of God. And I'm mighty concerned about my brothers and sisters that go around quoting scriptures that they're not lined up with. Uh-oh. How can you not expect the blessings of the Lord when we're not really lined up to receive the blessings? We walk around talking, yeah. God said he opened the windows of heaven. Yes, he did. But he said, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse. There may be meat and... See, you got to get the whole verse. But we halfway do stuff. All things work together for the good. Go to Romans 8:28 and read it when you go home. Not just for everybody. And I'm not saying that you need to pay God. I'm not saying God's not going to bless you because you didn't give or you did give. It's not about that. It's about a relationship. It's like you being married to God, God being married to you. It's deep that somebody married to you and they never going to give you nothing. Don't care nothing about you. Just got you there. Just using you. You know, all God says is, I want you to be faithful unto me, because I made a promise. I'm getting ready to pour out some blessings on you. Whenever something is poured out, it covers more space. I wish somebody knew what I meant. You have young children there at the dinner table, and when they pour out their Kool-Aid on the table, tell me don't cover your whole table. While you're getting paper towels and cloths and mumbling on your breath, saying all kinds of stuff you ain't supposed to say. You know, amen, amen. But in there, God says, prove me. In Greek, that word means test me, try me, prove me, examine me. See, when you're not lying to folk, you don't mind them testing you. When you don't have anything to hide, you can get on the witness stand and tell it exactly like it happened. And God says, I'm allowing you to put me on the witness stand. Try me. Prove me, test me, examine me, and see if I don't bless you according to my word. Not according to your word, according to my word. Some commentary said that some of the people during this time, they were scared to tithe because they were scared they weren't going to have enough. That's why God said, test me, prove me, try me, examine me. Some of us in the church, we've been there. It was your last, but it wasn't your last. It was the last that you had with you. It was the last that you could see in your hand. It was the last that you thought you had. Oh, God is true to his word. That's why we don't have to have a lot of gimmicks when it comes time to worship, when it comes time to give. You ain't got to gimmick folks. You ain't got to make folks feel guilty because they're not giving. Just read the word. The word says, if you want me to pour out some blessings on you, do what I ask you to do. But guess what? Many people struggle with tithing. And not only do they struggle with tithe, they struggle with giving. Not only in church, but they struggle with giving in every area of their life. Some folks just stingy. Hey, we might as well say just stingy. Amen. If they're going to cost them some money, they don't want no part of it. But guess what? Some of the same people don't have any problem receiving. I know you don't have nobody in your family like that. They never come to give. They come to take. You don't have nobody like that, do you? They only come certain times of the year. Thanksgiving. Christmas. Their birthday. Oh, I thought, yeah, man, you ain't seen Malik in years, man. Here you come. And when your birthday come around, you know I ain't got no money. Yeah. You know I love you, I ain't got no money. Some people tell you that tithing is Old Testament talk. But the Bible talks about giving in the Old and New Testaments. Let's look at a few examples. Turn to Proverbs chapter 3.
And I said, Lord, I am not going to preach this before the offering because I ain't trying to get nobody all upset walking out before the benediction.
But you know, bless the Lord, we have a lot of people that bless God's house. I need to say that also, amen. So it's not like we got this great big problem and we preaching a little bit. This is just what the Lord said, preach. Look at Proverbs 3 and 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thy own understanding, even after you read your bank statement. I said, that's in mine. I'm sorry. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Look at verse 9. Honor the Lord with thy and with the of all thine increase. I know somebody say, but Pastor, you so old fashioned. Uncle Sam dipped in my check already, man. So I can honor God my first fruits. If you examine your check, there's a net pay and there's a gross pay. Your first fruits are evident. Verse 10, so shall thy barns be filled with what? And thy presses shall burst out with what? New wine. These are the promises of God. But see, we can't jump over what the requirements are to get to the promise. Somebody walk around mad at God. God ain't blessing me. God ain't doing me right. God ain't. But what have you done according to the word of God? Turn to 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 8. Second Corinthians 9, verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly, that's why your neighbor got all them beautiful flowers and you got two. You saved seeds till Christ come back. You better plant that seed. He which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. God say, don't try to pay me. Don't try to get me to give you a return on something because you need something. Just come on, bless me because I asked you to bless me because I'm going to take care of you. As a matter of fact, if you do your math right, the 10% that we're supposed to give God and all the blessings, when you compare that, who really owns who? Look at verse 8. And God is able, but you know, God loves a cheerful giver. I mean, Reverend Kevin used to say not a fearful giver. But God loves a cheerful, which means don't come grudgingly. God said, you know, look, first of all, I beseech you, therefore, my brothers and sisters, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And what Paul is saying, basically, first, God really wants you. Because he doesn't have you, doesn't have your heart. What can he do with your money? Because you're not lined up. Oh, you got to be lined up. Anybody got a car out of alignment? Don't raise your hand. Just be very careful when you go home. It's a struggle. When you get to so many miles per hour, look at me later. You ain't trying to be all cool, top down, got the sunglasses on, but you struggling. Because it's out of alignment. If you're not careful, it'll go where it want to go. If you don't hold that wheel tight, I wish I had a witness. Your car, if it's out of alignment. Thank you. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. First Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, Let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come.
Lord have mercy. And that's why, you see, it's not equal giving, it's equal sacrifice. Because everybody don't have the same amount of money. And let me tell you something. When we pray for the ministry of giving, and when somebody says, God bless those who don't have to give, if you don't want to give, that's not for you. People be like, woo!
No, that's not for you. It's for folks that really don't have to give. Not folks that don't want to give. People like, ooh, thank you, son. Amen.
You just mess yourself up. God hears and sees all that stuff you be doing. They ain't trusting me. They got a pocket full of money and they ain't won't give me nothing.
Once a person accepts Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior and begins to mature in Christ, part of the maturation process involves the renewing of one's mind and how one looks at what God has blessed them with. When you really get into the Spirit, you'll look at things differently. And one thing they ought to teach in school is to teach us how to make money work for us and how we don't have to work so hard for money. Money can mess you up if you don't know how to work money. If you're not a good steward of what God's given you, not just your money, your house, your marriage, your kids, your gifts, if you're not a good steward, you're going to mess yourself up. You're going to always find yourself looking for more and more and more and looking over here for this and over here for that. And I'm jealous of this person. I'm jealous of this person. I don't know how they can afford this. I don't know how they can afford that. I don't know how they can do this and how they can do that. I'll make the same amount of money. It's what you do with it. And God is a multiplier. Give him your life and see what he does. Give him your heart and see what he does. God makes all things better. Worshiping the Lord and living and giving has to do with a willingness to be obedient to God and to trust God. That's what it has to do with. A willingness to be obedient to God. Because people tell me all the time, Pastor, you don't understand. My giving is between me and God. I mean, show them his. And what you done said? Nothing.
Because if it's between you and God, read the word, see what God's going to do for you. According to what you're doing, according to what you understand. It's amazing how we want God to bless us, God to keep us. We believe all the other scriptures, but when you come to these scriptures about tithing, giving, or presenting yourselves a living sacrifice, we pull back on that. All right.
Hold on now. Then we got the folks that say, all that church want is your money. But guess what? It takes money to build the kingdom.
They bring money to the storehouse because some of the Levites, they had to go to work, but they weren't supposed to work. And sometimes, you know, you got to do that. You got to be bivocational. You know, you got to build tents and everything. But it shouldn't be because the folk don't give to God. And if you got somebody that's not right, God said, I'm going to take care of them. See, sometimes we use an excuse. I see what they're doing with that money. Pastor just got a new Cadillac. My God,
with them big rims on it. Do you see last Sunday when he parked, the rims are still moving. And I said, Pastor, your rims still moving. He took a remote and stopped them. Glory. Woo!
And you walk in the church and the ceiling falls. Yeah, that the guy paid a quarter to use the bathroom. Somebody said, shut up. But then there's folk that because they're not blessed, they don't want you to be blessed. And the only reason they're not blessed is because they haven't lined up with the word of God. I'm not talking about just blessed materially. But see, when you have peace, when you have love, when you have joy in your life, those are blessings that you can't put a price tag on. There's many folks in the hospital, they're not worried about their bank account. They're worried about getting up off that sick bed. So don't mistake this message to just talk about money. But money is what we're used to. Money is what we hold on to. And don't hold on too much of it, because that's you die out of here. All the people that love you didn't want you to die. After you die? Before you in the ground, good. Well, after the repast, we're going to meet back at your house.
gonna divide this stuff up.
That's what life insurance is, really, death insurance. Amen. It really is. There ain't no life insurance. You don't get it till you die. How the life is yours? I told the family, it just sounds better. I'm a death insurance salesman. You probably knocked him off your porch.
All giving by God is not monetary or material. We got to remember that. Don't always just look for the material and money from God. Because if you're going through something, God give you some peace that passes all understanding and a joy that is unspeakable. See, it's not always money and material. You praying for your child, and your child finally turned the corner. They were going down the wrong. You pray for your marriage, and things seem to be.
And it's not because you paid God. It's because you were obedient to what God requested, and you are properly lined up with the Word of God. Not just giving, but in our living, and in our praying, and in our meditating, and in our worship, and in our study, and how I treat my neighbor, and how I treat my enemy, and what I do on my job, and how I work my job, and how I treat my wife, and how you treat your husband, and how you treat your kids. That's lining up with the Word. That's why none of us can run around the church talking about we perfect. Because as soon as you get one thing right, there's something else to look at. As we look at Malachi 3:6-12, let's see what it is we need to do to get our blessings poured out. Number one, let's look at the problem. Number two, the instructions. Number three, God's promise. What's the problem? Malachi 3:7-9. The problem is that they don't even realize that they're far away from God. Many folks don't realize it because we have the ability to rationalize ourselves. And see, and when you're in the flesh, you can rationalize anything. But when you're in the Spirit, there's conviction that takes place when you are in the Spirit. The Spirit of the living God is able to convict us in our spirits. But when you stay in the flesh, whatever you do is all right. Amen. God said bring stuff in the storehouse because they were taking care of the widows, the poor people. They were taking care of the priests and everything. And what he's basically saying is the church, you need money to build the kingdom. See, if you're just glad you saved, you got a church house, how about the folks that are not saved? How about the folks outside? How about the folks that chosen 300? How about the folks down the street that don't have a meal? How about the people that just had a fire? And that's what he's really talking about. But they had gotten so far away, they had gotten to a selfish mode. We just don't take care of us. There are folks that come to church, if they don't come for a particular Sunday, they say, oh, I ain't giving nothing, I ain't getting nothing. That's strange thinking because their minds haven't been renewed. I ain't singing today. God gave me a voice. I'm so tired of Jackie. Oh. She wants you to sing the right note all the time.
Amen. Yeah. My Lord. We got a second service. Why I got a second service? Why pastor got to go out? Because they called me to come out. Y'all ain't want to hear it, though. Okay. And there's a problem. They were not doing what God asked them to do. And even though they were not, he was still keeping them and he was still blessing them. See, I don't want you to leave here thinking, oh, if I don't pay God, God going to do this to me, that to me. No, no, I'm saying if you do what God asks us to do, you'll be a better off person. Your family will be better off. Your mind will be better off. Your soul will be better off. Your spirit will be better off. And God does not expect you to give what you don't have. Knowing about this, God said, go to the bank and get some money to pay your tithe. He said, don't trust me. My God. My God. You're going away from my ordinances. You've not kept them. He said, now return unto me and I'll come back to you. He said, I've already made the first move. Now you come on back to me. I'll come back to you. And they said, we're going to return for what? We ain't doing nothing wrong. The temple's still there. I don't care about the Levites having to go to work. So what? I work too. It's folks like that. I'll tell you. Don't work, I work. I ain't worried about them trying to get no message for me, trying to feed my soul.
But when you go get your doctor, you try to get the best one on the staff, don't you? But you don't care about who's going to preach to you, who's going to feed your soul, who's going to pray over you, who's going to pray with you, who's going to raise your children up in the church. You don't care about none of that?
See, when you get spiritual, your mind gets renewed. You begin to, like the young lady said last night, she said, let me tell y'all something. You pray for your spiritual leaders. Pray that God will keep them, because they're sure not praying for you. That God will keep you. It's deep, because if you don't want to invest, why you make the call? Pastor. I'm like, who that is? Hey! What's up? Were you in Florida? AC? No, okay. And see, they've all messed up. And he asked him a question, a rhetorical question. Would a man rob God? You rob me, but now you want to know how you rob me? He said, in tithes and all, you rob me and being obedient. You rob me in blessing the kingdom. You rob me in keeping things in a certain spot, in a certain way, in the storehouse. There's no meat in my house. So now we can no longer take care of the widows. We can't do ministry. We can't do what we're supposed to do. We can't keep the lights on. We can't keep the heat on. We can't keep the air conditioning on. We can't reach out to this one. We can't reach out to, we can't do missions. We can't do evangelizing. We can't do anything because you decided not to. And I made you healthy enough that you could work, and I blessed you with a job, and I blessed you with an income, and I blessed you with so much in your house. You got everything you need. Now you're just being greedy. Some of us just greedy. Got to have it, got to have it. And then he gave some instructions. And Malachi 3:10 A and B. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. Was this retroactive? I didn't check this.
Brother Dennis, Mitch, Reverend Kevin,
was this retroactivity? Oh. Bring ye, I hope it's not, because most of us spend it. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. I love this part. Prove me. Test me. Examine me. Hold me up. Challenge me. Herewith saith the Lord of hosts. But what does God promise? If I will not open you, in the process, as soon as we come back and do what God tells us to do, forgiveness is already played in. Because he says, once you do that, see if I will open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. I said, Lord, have mercy. What does windows mean in the Greek? Guess what another word for windows is in the Greek? Floodgate. Some translations have that in the New International Version. See if I won't open the floodgates. Lord, if I won't open the floodgates and pour you out a blessing. And that word pour means to empty out. I mean, God ain't got no more sense to love you just enough just to keep on. That there shall not be room. Now, you know, when you go to your favorite bar, they're going to stop when that foam on that beer. I'm sorry. I wasn't supposed to say that. But that foam on the beer. Oh, Lord. You know, they stop something. They're not going to wet their counter up. I know you get a Presbyterian. And when you pour lemonade, as soon as the glass fills up, you got to stop. Because it overflows. But God said, what I'm giving you. Because you've been obedient to me, I'm going to overflow you. Because not only do I want you to be blessed, I want your family blessed, and then I want the neighbors to see. See, overflow causes stuff to flow all out of you, all out of your house, all out of your mouth, all out of your spirit. That's what Psalms 133 is about. When they poured the oil on David's head and it ran. See, when they anointed in the Old Testament, it was that true stuff we do. Because we don't want to mess your clothes up. Because you don't give me a bill. We're not.
In the name of Jesus.
No. No. In the Old Testament. And it ran. It was an overflow of the anointing. And that's what God is trying to get us to see. Just walk in line with me. Just be obedient unto me. He said, I'm going to pour out so much that there shall not be room enough to receive it. That's powerful. And then he says, I'm going to turn around and rebuke the devourer for yours. Whatever's coming against you, tell the canker worm that I'm on my way. You see that commercial where they got that man shooting the weeds?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Roundup. Lord. He walking around with a little trigger. Like a gang. God, I'm getting round up all the stuff. that's been eating away at you. And the only way it got in your house, the only way it got in your life, because you've been disobedient. But now I've forgiven you because you showed me you want to return to me. And now that you return to me, I'm ready to fight for you. I'm ready to clean some stuff up. I'm ready to break down some stuff. I hear the chains falling. And when he says pour you out a blessing, that word blessing means gift. It means liberal present. I rebuke the vow for your sake that he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast a fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you what? Because right now they're talking about you. Going to church every Sunday, ain't got nothing. Ain't got two nickels to rub together. And ain't... Ain't got a pot to blake in or a window to pour it out. Anybody remember that one? Ain't got a pot. Oh, Lord. Oh, my God. Show your age, Pastor. Show your age. Ain't got a blake to fun. That's one of my mama's favorites. You walk around the house, you got your little money in your pocket. Come here, sit down, boy. You ain't got a pot to blake in or a window to throw it. So get somewhere and sit down. You don't want what we got for dinner because you got a little $5. Little $5. That's a lot of money back in the day. You get about 2 or 3 hoses for $5. All I'm getting now is a personal little Caesar pizza. Pizza, pizza. But this is a covenant. God had promised in Deuteronomy 28:8-14. He promised, I'm going to bless you. But around verse 14, he says, don't go to the right. Don't leave me. Because it's a covenant relationship. It's an agreement. My wife and I, we have a marriage agreement. We have a marriage covenant. And I'm supposed to honor the covenant. And she's supposed to honor the covenant. God said, honor the covenant that I had with your fathers. Because you are beneficiaries of the covenant. And because my wife and I keep the covenant, our children are blessed. We keep the covenant. We come in here. We work together like God told us. The church should be blessed. We're not the only ones that should be blessed. You should be blessed. Amen. God never meant for us to be poor. He said the poor you have always with you so you can serve them. God ain't never told nobody, go poor serving me. Go poor, give me all your money. Because he is a provider. Jehovah Jireh. He is a provider. But if you never have anything to give, not just money, but time, talent, or whatever, you ain't got time for God, you can't come to church, you can't read the word, you can't pray. That's like going to a math machine that you ain't put no money in. Got the nerve to come in here and talk about us, and you ain't done one thing. You ain't wiped nothing. You ain't built nothing. You ain't get. What y'all need to do? Hold up. Hold up. Rephrase your statement, please. That's about ready to rise up in here. I dare you go into a bank that you ain't banking with and tell them, I won't get some money out of my account. What's your account number? I don't have one. You're right. They're going to press that little button. If you go in there wrong, when you run out, it's a dye pack in there. But can you imagine God pouring out blessings on you and your family from heaven's window? Did you know God? Did you know that God is a giver? Oh yeah, did you know he's a giver? You ever read John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave. God is a giver. He is an example of our giving. I told you it wasn't all about money, because when you think about it, what do you think it took God to give up his son for you and for me and all the mess
from past, present, and future to send him down to get whipped, beat, bruised, spit, speared, whipped, and hung, crucified. If that's not giving, I don't know what giving is. And because he has given me so much, I don't mind giving back to him. Because in his mercy, he said, I know you got to live. I know you got things that you need to do on earth, but I want you to live and I want you to do ministry. I want you to be blessed and I want you to reach somebody else. All I'm asking for is 10%. I want 10 cents out of every dollar I allow you to make. I come to let you know, if you can't do it with 90 cents, you can't do it with a dollar. And all God is saying to us today is, can you be obedient to me? Everything that you have, can you give it to me? I don't need it. I want to use it for my glory. And if you read my word, why, when I use it, it's going to fall back. Somebody need to get ready. You need to go get the biggest container that you can find. Because you've been obedient and you have yet to see return on your obedience. Yeah, I go to church every Sunday. I don't know what that pastor's talking about, but I ain't seen nothing change in my life. You better get ready. It's about to happen. Deke, find out for next Sunday where people can buy the biggest container. Because God's about ready. Not only will he pour out corporately, he'll pour out individually. But are you in relationship with him? Does he know your name? Can he depend on you like you depend on him? Or do you get yours and go hide in the corner somewhere and keep it all for yourself? Are you using your gift for God? God has blessed you. At least every one of us has at least one gift. What have you done with your gift? Have you put it in the box? Did you bury it like that man with this one talent? He put it in the ground. And when Jesus returned, he said, get rid of him. No good. God said, whatever I give you, I want to use it for my glory. If you want to trust God, I'm telling you, you ought to trust God today. Trust God today. Look, I'm not playing. I'm not going to come with no big gold chain next week. Just trust God. Deke, Ray, and Deke, I need y'all down front here. I need y'all to help me with something. Leave the spring water here. Yeah, take that wrapping off that glass there. I want to demonstrate to you all what happens. You have to keep that pan under there. I'm going to show you what happens for those that don't trust God. This is what happens for those that don't trust God. Look at that. That's all you get. You don't trust him. Well, maybe. Maybe he will. But for those that believe God, well, y'all got to... If I won't pour you out a blessing, that there shall not come. See, that little spring water bottle, that wasn't a pour, that's a sipper. That's a sipper. Look at that. Look at all that. Look at that. Boy, you better get another pan, man. Look at that. That's overflow. And I still... I'm talking about poured out blessing. Y'all get rid of that. Poured out blessing. It came from the bathroom. It's bathroom water the same as the regular, all the water. Hey. He gonna come out flush. Let me tell you something. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I would not proclaim to you to do something that I would not do. I know God as a provider. I know God as a healer. I know God as a deliverer. It's right in the word of God. He will bless you and he will keep you blessed. He'll bet you're going out. You shall be the head. But you got to believe that. And when you believe it, you act on it. You walk in it. Or be serving God from a distance. Let me chime out from over here. No. Be bold like we were in everything else we walked into and shouldn't have walked into. Take that same bold and say, Lord, here I am. God, I believe you. Because there's nobody else that would send their only begotten son to die on Calvary for a wretch like me. But now that you came in my life, that's where that song came from. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but God can change. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus. You need to know today, it's not just about the money. It's about obedience. And God will pour you out that word pour and that word window. Because I kept saying, how does that window of heaven look? I looked that thing up in Hebrew and said, I'm talking about floodgates, man. Which means God's got some stuff held up for you. He got it dammed up. But as soon as you return to him and he sees your heart, that dam will break. And the floodgates, joy, peace, mercy, grace, whatever you stand in need of. Let us all stand. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. Pour it out, blessing. That's right. That means empty. He emptied it out on your behalf. See, heaven's never bankrupt.
That's right.
But he got some stuff for you.
Yeah.
And as soon as he opened that floodgate, hey, Deke, I saw you down there. I know you've been struggling. But guess what? Here it is.
That's right.
And then God gave you so much, you start blessing everybody else in the family, even though they don't like you. Matter of fact, they wouldn't even let you borrow a little bit. They wouldn't even break you off a piece, Deke. God said, that's cool. Cause I'm going to floodgate you.
That's right.
Oh, my.